Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hockey. Yeah.
My favorite.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
And welcome back. We are back. Judd and Declan, Judd's Hockey Show, Wild starting training camp today. And so from here on out through the rest of the season, there will be plenty to discuss. It has been an offseason that has really not been eventful because the Wild, as we've discussed for a long time now, is salary cap strapped and is going to be throughout much of the season, largely because of the buyouts of Parise and Suter. But that being said, the team is on the ice now, so preseason starts on Sunday with an afternoon home game against some type of split squad from the Avs. I'm getting emotional. I'm getting choked up here, Declan. But I bring to you today five questions for us to bat back and forth, to debate, to talk about. Five questions as training camp opens. Obviously, some of these things will probably clear themselves up before the regular season starts next month against the Rangers. But I want to start with this one. I want to start with, what is your confidence in the goaltending, which has definitely changed? So open last year with Cam Talbot being the main guy. And then he was not happy with how he was used in the playoffs. Things got a little bit ugly. He has been traded to Ottawa. And now as we start training camp, Marc-Andre Fleury, who just a couple of years ago won the Vezina, but is not a young man, and as he approaches his 40th birthday, is the top goaltender. And Philippe Gustafson is the backup. He came from the Senators. What is your faith in the goaltending as the season starts?
So faith as in a 1 to 10 scale, 10 being I am ironclad, confident, and 1 being sound all the alarms. This might shock you, but I have this at a 7. I have this as a 7. I don't really expect it to get much better than a 7, but I think at its best, it should be a 7 out of 10. Marc-Andre Fleury kind of came down to earth a little bit. He was the reigning Vezina winner going into the season this time last year. Gustafson being a unproven backup guy, who knows what you really have in him. I think Guerin still expects that Marc-Andre will probably still start about 60% of the games. I know he's up there in age, but I don't think it's going to be a true 50-50 split. Unless Fleury's play or an injury happens where it's completely derailed. But Marc-Andre Fleury is one of the most decorated goalies of all time. And even though everything about his numbers last year was just about average, it wasn't anything spectacular. He wasn't stopping pucks above rates he should have like he did when he won the Vezina Trophy. But he's a playoff-tested goalie. He's hockey royalty, as you've said before. I'm actually pretty confident with the goaltending here. Now, I could have egg on my face because I told you and Mackie that goaltending basically comes down to very similar vein in putting and golf, right? Like everything in golf can work for you and putting can shipwreck you. At the same time, if you're having a horrible day on the golf course, but you're putting everything in, it makes up for all the bad deficiencies around you too. So I think it goes down to that goaltending, but I am actually pretty confident with how it's trending.
I'm at a 5. I'm at a 5 because what we saw from Fleury in the playoffs was probably more than a little bit discouraging. He was great 2 years ago, but he's not a young man. And I also have questions beyond him, just about, you know, gone are the days where you could start a goaltender the majority of games and say, okay, that's not ideal, but he's our main guy. You're going to have a competent backup. Here's the wild card, and I don't know, this might not happen in 2021-22 decks or 22-23, but the wild card to me, Jesper Wallstedt. But he's only 19, and this is going to be his first year playing in North America. So I think he's going to spend the majority, if not the entire season, and perhaps into the next year with the Wild's American Hockey League affiliate in Iowa. But yeah, I'm at a 5 based on the fact that Gustafsson, we don't know. He's a backup. And Fleury, you're going to probably ask more than you want to from him, but you're going to have to draw a line. And so I'm not down on the goaltending, but I think it's very fair to say I'm not sure. I'm just not sure yet.
Yeah, it's a little unproven, right? As in, I think there's a ceiling that's being reached here. I don't think that the goaltending is going to be one of the best tandems in the league. And Gustafsson is such an unknown that you might have a liability behind him. But, you know, Hunter Jones is in AHL, and I know he didn't have, like, stellar numbers last year in the minor leagues, but still he was a prospect that you drafted. Obviously, Jesper Wallstedt is your future, I think, in a perfect ideal world. And this isn't not to slight Gustafsson, but if Gustafsson isn't the answer, you call up Jesper Wallstedt, and he sits behind Marc-Andre Fleury and learns the ropes and gets all that exposure. Now, I think only Wallstedt only comes up here under two circumstances, if there's catastrophic injuries to Fleury or Gustafsson. Or if he's just playing so well and the Wild need goaltending help, why not? He's not going to be rushed up here by any means, and nor should he be rushed up here by any means. But I think those are really the only scenarios where you'll see Jesper Wallstedt here in Minnesota, as if it's by necessity with an injury or just because he's forcing their hand and you have to get better goaltending.
Yeah, I think there's a feeling now that at 19, you're probably not going to see a goaltender till what, Dex? 21, 22?
Yeah, but, you know, Spencer Knight kind of changed a little bit of that. You know, like people, I don't think it's as, especially highly regarded guys like Wallstedt, you know, it's not like that these guys have to be baking in the minor leagues. It's a hard position to figure out, so you're right in that vein. But I don't think it's as shocking as it used to be. But yes, there is still obviously a due process that has to take place with the development.
All right, number two, this was touched on by our friend Michael Russo in The Athletic in a piece that he did this week during training camp, the possibility of adding another forward. Now, salary cap wise, with Kulikov gone and with moves that have been made, the Wild have about $5.7 million to spend, Declan. And there is a feeling, at least from what Russo wrote, that there could be a possibility that Bill Guerin will wait for a team that itself salary cap strapped, and you don't have to be in compliance with the cap until the regular season's about to start, and make a trade for forward. First of all, what's your opinion of that? And second of all, how concerned are you going to be if that does not take place?
You know, I'm not too as much as we love to recklessly speculate and try to figure out, hey, should the Wild do this? Should they add this player? Should they trade for this person? Trying to make up those fun storylines, because they're always fun to talk about. I'm not too concerned with them bringing in another forward. Now, Russo's point, and this is also keen around the entire NHL, there's like a half dozen to 10 teams who are at or above the cap, and they have to be cap compliant by the time opening night hits in about a little less than a month. So there's going to be teams that'll have to either shed salary. There's going to be teams that put players maybe on long-term IR and delay that inevitable. And then there's also going to be guys that just go on waivers because they have to clear this salary. So it probably won't be a thing to watch until we get closer to opening night. But I the Wild are banking on, you know, guys like Marco Rossi, which I know we'll get into making this roster. They taking flyers on, you know, guys like Sam Steele. Maybe Tyson Jost also gets a more of an opportunity now that he's above the fourth line potentially. So they're banking on more of their in-house options. Now, Guerin gets to see this play out right in the training camp practices, in the exhibition games, in these split squad scrimmages. So they get this luxury of figuring out, all right, is there someone here? But I don't think he is completely glued to the idea that we have to bring in someone. I think if someone catches their eye, right, if it's someone of Guerin's nature that he thinks can help this team on and off the ice, then I think he pulls the trigger. But it's not something that, like, I'm too keen on as of this moment of them going out and doing.
And if they do this, it very well might not be what we consider to be a name player. Like, it might be a Goudreau, Jost type, right? Like, that seems to be and I don't have a problem with this at all. That seems to be the what they lean towards. So, like, they could add somebody as opening night approaches, but it's not going to be a wow move. I also think it's going to be intriguing to watch. It sounds like the plan is right now as training camp opens, Declan, for Jost to get a opportunity to play on the line with Eriksson and Foligno while Greenway recovers from surgery. And I believe Bill Guerin said today that he expects Greenway and John Merrill, the defenseman, to miss the first, 5 to 10 games. Jost getting that opportunity does intrigue me. Partially because of this, I've always wondered if the commitment to Greenway is going to stick. If Joe steps in there and plays well, Greenway's always struck me as a player that probably drives them crazy. And this goes way back for us because of the up and down. Mm-hmm. And if Joe steps in there and plays well, if they would at least consider moving Greenway at some point.
You know, I think Guerin loves Greenway off the ice. They're just a camaraderie with him, the whole big rig campaign and all that stuff. So I do think he's a good apple in the locker room, and he's part of the culture that Guerin wants to build. So he might frustrate you on the ice, kind of like similar to like a Charlie Coyle and all those Granlin and Zucker and Nino guys that were here previously that had blips of being successful, but how were they the best in the room? You know, were they also encouraged from bad leadership above them? It wasn't always on them. I think he really likes who Greenway is as a person and what he means in that locker room. But there is a point where if your play is not up to par, well, then, dude, you're going to lose playing time. So I don't think he's as like on as much of thin ice. Or there isn't as many question marks to me about his game right now than there was a year ago at this time. I don't think there's as many question marks about who he is as a player or his game. But there is a point where if he isn't delivering, well, then at the end of the day, I mean, some type of change has to happen. So I'm excited for Tyson Jost to get a significant run. He was the 10th overall pick. He's been buried on the fourth line. He was buried in Colorado. And there could be a significant case to be banked that, hey, he's just not as good as we thought he was going to be when he was drafted 10th overall. But I watched him play college at North Dakota. He was the 10th overall pick in a draft. So there was clearly some legitimate pedigree to his name. And I'm more curious on what he can do as a player.
Yep. And this will be an opportunity for him to probably shine a little bit offensively with a couple of guys who are very defensively responsible. So I think this is going to provide some clarity as to who he is. And once that clarity is there, it's going to probably open some doors for potential moves. All right. Third talking point. And I personally believe that this is important. Marco Rossi, who was coming off the COVID and heart scare condition last year and was no question in training camp slowed and not probably back in hockey shape at that point, goes on to play the majority of the season with the Iowa Wild, has a really good year, and now is going to compete for a job. I know he's still young, but it's my opinion it is important that he wins a job to start to get National Hockey League experience, and I want to see results too. So I don't consider this like a nice trial. I think that we are getting to the point now where you want to see this kid play and play in a top six role at center with this team. That's my goal. That's my thought.
Yeah, they're banking on the fact that he'll make this team. And in fact, I think he will. He would have to have either an injury or just a significant step back in his development for him not to make this team. Now, that's why I'm not too also keen on them adding another forward, because I just think it creates a logjam where I'd rather see Marco Roth, unless they just got someone unbelievable, right? Like, if they add some classic slappy that's a bottom six dude, like, that blocks Marco Rossi, that blocks opportunities for Tyson Jost, that just blocks things. So that's why I'm not too keen, at least right now, on the idea of them adding another forward, because I just don't think it's worth it on their end, because there's other in-house options I'm more intrigued by. And also from that cap side, you know, they have like $5 million in the cap space. They have to always keep that buffer of about a little over $1 million for the call ups and recalls and players being sent down and whatnot. So you have to be cap compliant. And then also, if you go to the trade deadline, you need some cushion, you know, more cushion to absorb things if you want to make a move. So I think Marco Rossi is probably, you know, I know we talked about goaltending and forwards and whatnot, but he's kind of the 1A talking point at training camp. Is he ready to crack the lineup? Is he ready to be the prospect that everyone has made him out to be? Yes, he had the health scare last year, and thankfully he's now healthy and stayed back in Minnesota because he was focused on trying to make this team, didn't want to leave the country and whatnot, which is the Judd Zolgad plan.
Don't leave the country. I do not like people leaving the country.
So he's focused on making this team, and I'm curious to watch him play, man. I mean, we saw him play, what, two games, I think, last season. You and I went to that home game as well that he was in, and he wasn't, I don't think he was a liability, but he was unnoticeable, which can be a fine thing when you're trying to just make your debut and get your teeth cut a little bit. But there's expectations for him. There's expectations that he is the first legitimate center that Bill Guerin loves to be asked about and be bugged about, and can he take that first big step?
And it's also telling that Kucherov's being moved from center to wing because of this, because we all know that Dean loves Gaudreau. Like, he loves him like a kid. And Gaudreau, you know what? Surprisingly, last year I thought played well. So, like, credit to him. But that being said, I think the move of Gaudreau to a wing for now shows the commitment to getting Rossi in and playing. The other thing I'm curious about, and they're not going to address this at all, Dex, until it actually becomes a not problem. That's not the right word. It becomes an issue. But right now there is a definite the way that Dean's talking. Ryan Hartman is going to continue to be the center for Kaprizov and Zuccarello. If Rossi starts to play really well. Like, if Rossi takes off, and we don't know, he could. Will they look at that, too? Because, you know, ultimately, I think at the end of the day, you're going to want Kaprizov and Rossi together. Like, I get it. At first, he's probably going to play him with Boldy and Gaudreau and that. I get that. But I'm talking down the road, you know, if we get to January or February, Declan, and Rossi is playing well, really well. Because I got to think that Hartman's going to have regression to his game. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm hard pressed to think that a guy who's good, but certainly not great, is going to have as statistically of impressive year as he did last year. And I have to think that there also is a plan in place where Marco Rossi is eventually playing with Kaprizov, if not this year, then next. But if he plays well, it's a definite conversation. Hey, should these two play together? And I think it's probably a good conversation to have.
Yeah, I think that top line can stay intact for right now. It should. It was a very good line. Kaprizov and Zuccarello have legitimate chemistry. Ryan Hartman had this career season. Is that, you know, can he keep that up? Was that a fluke? Was that an aberration? You know, is he going to come down to earth hard? I would like to think that he's probably going to regress to a degree. And Marco Rossi can be someone that could potentially step up and be your true number one center. And, you know, let that process play out, right? Like, you don't have to bail on that plan two games in by any means. And by the way, and this is a warning, because I think some, for whatever reason, we were kind of mocked by this, that the first 10 games of both Kirill Kaprizov's two seasons so far, the COVID season and last year, where he got off to a slow start, right? Like, one goal in the first 10 games and then explodes and he was great. But he's a superstar. And you can't really get into a habit of just having your superstar take games off. And yes, there is expectation and there's a slow bake there that, hey, he'll find his game and he'll be fine. But he's a slow starter in his career. He's been a slow starter the first two seasons in the NHL, but he's obviously one of the best players in the NHL right now. How long does that leash remain if Ryan Hartman and Zuccarello and Kaprizov get off to slow starts before a change can be made where, you plug in Marco Rossi? That's the goal, right? I think Marco Rossi playing on the top line, that's the end goal.
100% right. All right, next talking point. Do you like the fact that Evason has discussed and is going to start training camp by breaking up Spurgeon and Middleton and Brodin and Dumba, and they are now going to put Spurgeon and Brodin together on the first defensive pair, Middleton and Dumba on the second pair? Your thoughts on what is a pretty substantial move to what the defensive pairings were once the Middleton trade was made with San Jose last season.
Yeah, you know, Evason kind of explained this logic, and this is where I love a coach that, you know, kind of looks back at things and has to address a change. And even though you might be used to something, you have to also adapt and change always. And, you know, he said that we want to get Spurgeon and Brodin against the high-end speed guys and high top-line guys, and rightfully so. Those are their two best defensemen. That's no question.
Right.
The two best defensemen on this team, whether they're paired or not, are Jarrett Spurgeon and Jonas Brodin. So I kind of actually like the idea of having your top two guys playing that shutdown role. And Spurgeon, Middleton in general are bigger dudes that can throw their weight around a little bit, right? Like the Wild are a small team. The Wild, I mean, yeah, Foligno's, you know, don't mess with Marcus Foligno, but Foligno and Dumba and Jacob Middleton, they are responsible for kind of throwing around their weight and being you know, heavy hitters, if you will. So actually, I like this idea. I think this is a good plan to have. Let Spurgeon and Brodin be their shutdown defensemen. Good luck trying to score against them. They've historically done a very good job at suppressing chances and suppressing goals. So put those two together. I know you might be making the case that you're putting too much eggs in the first pair basket, but right. I personally am a big fan of it.
I liked it too, and that's what drove me nuts when Suter would always insist that he had to play with Spurgeon, and it's like, no, put Spurgeon and Brodin at that time together. I will say this. Among the players, Declan Goff, that I want to see major steps from in consistency and actually points as well, this to me is it for Dumba. Like, we need far more, and when he plays well, I really like him. But it's my opinion that going into this season, we need to see the good Dumba a lot more. And that guy can score goals. That guy can get points. Middleton can be the stay-at-home guy, and he's perfect there. And you know what? That looks like a great trade right now. But I need to see Matt Dumba apply himself every night, almost. I get he's going to have off games at times. But we both, Dex, have raved about him for the last 3 years. Like, when he's playing well, he has so much potential. And then we'll go into these spurts where we're like, what's he doing? So I need to see Matt Dumba at his best, which means, and Middleton being his partner should actually give him a lot of confidence that he can take the puck and rush it, that he can shoot more, that he can be in a position where he can affect games in ways that when he does it, I think are special, hard to find.
You know, he had the explosive year in the year he got hurt in the fight against the Chuck, and he was having a career season. He had double-digit goals very early. He was shooting the puck at the highest rate of his career. And ever since then, whether it was injury-related or not, he has kind of stopped shooting as much as he did in that 32 games where he was lighting the league on fire. And it's no secret, analytics or non-analytics, that the more you shoot, the more likely you are you're going to score a goal. But he's also kind of been a little bit more tempered. And it's a little surprising to me. And again, that might be the injury. That might be that his pec will never be the same again. And that's now that's sports, and that's just getting older. He's
broke
now
a rib last year, right?
Yeah, and
punctured his lung.
And he's he's now entering. I know he came up as a 19-year-old. He's now 28 years old. He turned 28 this summer, so he's now been in the. It's kind of crazy to think he's already played over 500 games with the Minnesota Wild. I remember when he was called up. I remember when he was drafted, and I was still in college. And now all of a sudden, he's logged 500 games. And he's in a contract year, man. Like this is the last season of him being under contract. So this is a big moment for him, and also a big decision that the Wild have to make long term with Matt Dumba. And which one are you going to get?
Yeah, and I need to see the good one a lot more.
Yeah.
Last thing, we'll stay on the blue line. Kalen Addison, does he make the team? And if he does he get the legitimate shot that he should to run the power play? They basically, Dean said that they are going to keep the scheme of the power play largely the same, but the personnel will change. I think Addison deserves the first opportunity to run this thing. And yes, we need to see far more from it.
I would love for him to make this team. There's something a little strange going on with either two things. Either his game hasn't blossomed to where Bill Guerin wants it to be.
Yep.
Or he's just, not cut out to be a legitimate NHL player. And Guerin traded from him, from his former organization in Pittsburgh, knowing who he's familiar with. And even though he might put up decent AHL numbers, which Kalen Addison has done so far, and he's clearly a high offensive player or a high offensive defenseman that can, ignite a power play and shoot the puck and create opportunities that these new defensemen are creating nowadays. He's also a bit logjam. He's going to be on the third pair, which is, a testament to how deep the Wild's blue line is, but how much of an opportunity can you give him? And then if he's going to be the third pair guy, which, again, I'm fine with, Can you find opportunities where he is at least on the second power play, if not the first power play unit?
I think he should be on the first power play to start. I think he should get that. That power play was consistently underwhelming.
Oh, yeah.
I think if this guy has a role, it's third pair defenseman, first pair power play defenseman at the blue line. I think that's incredibly fair. Now, if it doesn't work, it falls flat. Okay, that's fine. Try something else. But that power play needs a spark. And how many times last year, when we were at games in the press box at the X, did we not see that spark? So, yes, I think Kalen at least deserves the chance to be on the first power play. All right, Judd's Hockey Show preview of training camp. Plenty more to come. We'll be back. We'll probably be back fairly soon.
Yeah.
As news breaks, as roster decisions are made. Declan, you take us home.
Hey, hit the subscribe button now that the winter sports season is starting. The fall sport, winter sports. I'm not a big fall guy. Everyone loves fall in this state. I think it's the most overrated season in the world.
Oh,
it lasts
God,
like
it's
maybe good for like 14 days, and then I'm just sick of it.
I love this weather. I love this chilly weather.
But the best part is the Wild are back, the Timberwolves are back, Flagrant Howls. So if you're a basketball fan, too, you get that double dip with Phil Mackey and Kyle Tighe, who will be doing Flagrant Howls. Of course, Judd's Hockey Show will live on here. Judd and I will be there was a six-week absence from our last episode, Judd, and I don't think that'll be the case now for the next, hopefully, 8 to 9 months.
Nothing happened.
Yeah, I mean, I know people were like, where's the Judd's Hockey Show? We're not going to pull things out of our behinds yet.
We might try once in a while, but I mean, that was a dearth.
It was rough. So hit the subscribe button, Daily Minnesota Sports and Minnesota Wild Entertainment. This has been Judd's Hockey Show. Pass, shoot, score.
He knows you once ate an entire sheet cake. He knows your selfie life isn't your real life. He knows what goes down on the DMs. Shouldn't you know your dog better? Now you can learn his inner secrets with Embark, the highest rated dog DNA test. Unlocking over 350 breeds and screening for over 215 genetic health risks. Go to EmbarkVet.com and use promo code DNA, that's DNA, to get $60 off an Embark Breed and Health Kit or Purebred Kit with free shipping. That's promo code DNA to save today.